Ciao, ni hao, yasu, bonjour, guten tag. My name is Lydia, and I'm your host of the Global Travel Junkie podcast, where we'll discover new luxury destinations and experiences together. So let's get started and meet today's guest. Hi, everyone. It's Lydia with the Global Travel Junkie podcast and YouTube channel. And today I'm here with Kat Fleischman. Hi, Kat.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Yes. And Kat, tell us where you are in the world today.
So I'm in Padova, Italy, which is 25 minutes away from Venice. It's a cute little town. And it's just really, really quiet and nice and really close to all of the beautiful cities in Italy.
And what you told me before we hit record was you're living La Dolce Vita, aren't you?
Yes, I am with my son and my baby daddy.
Which is a dream of mine. I would love to live at least part-time in Italy. So I really envy what you're able to do there. So thank you for being on the show today. And we're going to talk about Morocco. So before we get started talking about Morocco, will you just introduce yourself and let the audience understand a little bit about your background and what you're doing today? And we're going to get into where you visited to talk about.
Yeah, so I grew up, I was born in Peru. So I have that, you know, Latina background in my blood. I grew up in Miami. So Miami is just a melting pot of people from all different kinds of cultures, and the city that inspired me to start traveling in the first place. I went to school in New York. I got a master's in PR. So my background is public relations. I've been doing that for 15 years, but I've always traveled. My father was in transports of car vehicle parts. So he would have to go to Brazil and then he would have to go to Europe. So me and my sisters would always tag along. And that's when I was just bit with the bug of I was meant to travel. And so when I did become a publicist, I took on a lot of travel type clients like hotels and restaurants and wine companies and chefs. And then I just became in love with travel and the whole world that surrounds that. So I became a travel writer in 2019, right before COVID. And honestly, it was probably the best time for me to start doing that because it was when most of the world was like too afraid to travel. So a lot of the properties were really suffering because they didn't have a lot of exposure. People were too afraid to travel. They weren't getting as much press as before. So I actually traveled through Europe. And, you know, then when I got to around 2021, I actually met my now boyfriend, he's Italian, in Greece, in Mykonos, Greece. And we had a son. And his name is Leo. And that's how I ended up here in Italy. So I made it my, you know, my kind of stomping grounds for continuing my travel adventures. If you've ever been to Europe, you know that it's super easy to get around, whether you're trying to go from one city in Italy to another, or even to Spain, Germany, France. You just can hop on a train or a quick Ryanair flight and you're there. So it's been really, really, really amazing, amazing journey. And I am so happy to have ended up where I did. So, and I'm happy that, you know, that you are here to share with everybody that's listening the wonderful thing that is travel.
Exactly. So we hope to inspire more people to get out there and explore our world and find new ways of adventuring through travel. And yes, you are in a great spot. I remember flying into Munich. This is like in 2004, Germany. And then by the morning, we took a train all the way to Venice and we woke up in Venice and, you know, we started at 10 p.m. in Germany. So we had to go through Switzerland and then over to Venice.
Yeah.
So it's so easy.
And it's like everywhere you go in Europe, you're waking up and it's a totally different culture. It's almost like being on a cruise where you get on a train and they're speaking a totally different language when you get there. They have a totally different cuisine. They have different cultures. They have different kinds of fashion, whether it's Paris and London, or you want to slow down and go to the hills of Tuscany. I mean, it's really just something very special. Europe is a very special country.
It is. And even in Italy, would you not agree? Like you could be in northern Italy, like near the Swiss Alps, and then you could go all the way down to the boot where it's close to Sicily, and it's just completely different temperature and environment and all the fruit and everything that's grown down there. It's just a whole nother world, right?
Even the people are so different. Like when my boyfriend talks about the people from the south of Italy versus the people from the north of Italy, the people from the south are more laid back. They take their time. They love to vacation. The people from the north are like working, Veneto region. They're really, really hard workers. And also the cold temperature keep them working all the time. So
Yeah, and wrapped up and bundled up. Yeah.
exactly.
They say the ones in the South have a warmer heart, right?
Yeah, and they're giving you limoncello and they're telling you to grab a chair at the beach and just
No
yeah. Yeah. Or
problemo.
the ones in Tuscany who are drinking wine all night or all day and they're just enjoying food and pairings. And so even within Italy is a different culture, which I've learned from the past year and a half living here.
Yes. And you know what? I think it'd be great to have you back and we could just talk about Italy and all the different places in Italy that are so diverse. So I know lots of people in around the world love Italy, don't they?
Yeah, I would love to talk about Italy as well.
Yes, I am one of those that loves Italy. So let's move on to Morocco. So tell us, when did you go? Was this 2019 or when did you go?
No, this was actually it was almost like a post baby moon, so it was like after I had my baby in 2021, 2022, I'm sorry. So it was not long ago, and it was before the earthquake that hit Morocco and
Oh
Marrakesh.
my gosh. Wow.
I don't know if you heard about that, but
No,
yeah,
I didn't. How are they doing? Are they okay?
they're okay, thank God. But there was some historical damage of some of the historical sites, and it was really sad because I had just come back like 6 months ago, and it was just something that really shook me because Morocco is such a special place and so different from all of the places that I've been in. I think that's why I chose Morocco out of all of the places in the world because it's just so different. And the culture, the food, the spices, the markets, the people. I mean, it's just such a fun, happening place. And even where you stay, you can wind down. They do a lot of like spa treatments and riads, and the architecture is gorgeous at some of the places that I stayed. And then if you're feeling adventurous, you can go into the desert, into the Agha Fai, and do some camel tours or even some ATVs, which I was able to do all of that when I was there.
That's awesome. Well, while you're explaining things, let's just assume people don't know what these words are. So, for instance, like I've never heard the word agafay. So, what is an agafay?
Agha Fai is a section of Morocco that's just complete desert.
Okay.
So a lot of the tourists that want to visit don't necessarily just want to do, the center of Marrakesh. So they built these glamping sites in the desert that host people, and you're literally sleeping in a glorified tent, I would call it. With all the perks and there's a restaurant that they just built from the ground up, and it's high end, but you're staring into the desert, which is completely gorgeous because you're one with nature, but you're also comfortable. So that's why the glamping experience in a place like this, where it's like red sand, it's camels everywhere. You're really taking in the culture. You're eating, these platters of like their local cuisine and spreads everywhere. And I mean, it's just something very special I did that the first night that I got there. So it was definitely, I'll remember it forever.
That sounds wonderful, and you're definitely making me and I'm sure the rest of the audience curious to go learn more about glamping. in the desert. I mean, can you describe like a little bit about what that's like? Do you hear the wind howling? Are you in tents? Is the wind shaking the tent? Like, give us a experience of what was kind of awing. Like, did the sand blow in your face? Did you have to wear cover-ups? I mean, what was it like?
So I stayed in a really nice like tent that was pretty much like almost a hotel tent,
like if you want to call it.
Like, yeah, like there was air conditioning, there was a bathroom, there was a shower. Wow. So it was like having all of that, but in a comfortable situation. The only time I ever felt like the wind and the dust and that I had to put like something to cover my face was when I went on the ATV. So when you go on an ATV or on a camel and you're literally like in the middle of the desert, that's when the wind is really blowing and you're going at high speed on the ATV. So I actually have video footage. I don't know if you can post it later, but I could send you my video footage of the actual ATV. I took a video from the ATV. So that was really intense because I've been to Burning Man and it almost reminded me of Burning Man because it was just in the middle of the desert, nothing between you and the sand, and even the camel ride, you're just kind of in the middle of it. So I would say I felt it more when I was like out doing the activities than in the tent.
Were these guided? Like if you're on a camel, is there a guide or a person?
Oh, yeah.
With you?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I'd be a little bit scared to do it on my own. Camels, you know, I'm a horseback rider, but camels, you know, where do you sit? Where, you know, how do you get on one? Like they're super tall. They're way taller than horses. So
yeah, you don't want to fall off one, right?
Yeah, no. But they're actually beautiful animals because the way you get on them is actually they kind of like bow down like with their hind legs and then their front legs. And so they're actually sitting down when you get on them. And then they all of a sudden their hind legs go up and their front legs go up and you're all the way like 10 feet in the air. And it's like, whoa, but it's they're very friendly animals.
That's awesome. Okay. So you said you did that one night where you went to the tents and the glamping. How do they get you out there? Like, do cars take you out to the sand, or is that are there like normal roads?
It was actually really fun because it was like a four-wheel drive type of situation because it is sand and you don't know what the weather conditions are going to be like. Like, what if it rains or there's wind? So it's a four-wheel drive vehicle that brings you out there. And it's obviously guided with an expert that knows how to drive a four-wheeler that knows how to drive in the desert. So
it's very safe. You're safe.
You're very safe, yes. It's not like you're just going with some random guy in a pickup truck. it's not like that.
That reminds me, were you alone or did you have a companion?
No, I was with my boyfriend. And honestly, I don't know. I don't think I would do Morocco alone. You know, I was very afraid to do it because of, you know, being a woman and, you know, robberies and just, you know, it's just you're in the middle of a market and who knows. And but when I was there, I felt very safe. I definitely think you need to have like, if you're going to go alone, like an organized tour or guide that can take you and knows his way around and knows how to speak the language and all that.
Yeah. Keeps up with you, keeps track of you. Yeah. I think that's smart in a lot of cases. Right. So I think that's good. So let's talk about the city where you were in the markets. I want to, you know what comes to mind, because I've never been to Morocco, but what comes to mind is like Indiana Jones, you know, movie. That was my first exposure to a market. And so in, you know, Morocco. So tell us, how true to form is that?
Oh my God. It's exactly like that. I have to tell you, I spent hours at the market and I could send you photos of my house. You could see the inspiration from the markets because you're just so caught up with all the colors and the spices and it's so bustling and everybody goes at a certain time because it's like you want to get the fresh fish, and it's exactly like that. And it was honestly one of my favorite parts of the entire trip. was just the markets in Marrakesh. I think I went back three times, because not only did I do the markets, but I learned about the history of why they sell these poufs and why there's rugs everywhere, and how the women are actually employed by a foundation that where they actually are employed to make these rugs, and how they design the rugs, and how what machines they use, and what kind of wool they use, and how they get it from the farms and the sheep. And so I just learned so much about it that it made that experience so much more special. And I ended up buying products, whether it was ceramics or rugs or poufs or just products, lamps and things that are typical of Morocco, because I understood exactly why it was a specialty there and what the meaning behind it was, which was really nice.
Yeah, I've helped some refugees here in town, and they don't really like want traditional furniture. They like being more on their rugs. I mean, because we offered them, like, you want a couch, and they're like, no, but they're like on the floor. So, is there anything that you learned about the rugs that were related to, like, are they more spiritual, or like, what's the kind of concept around the rugs?
So, they are more spiritual because they say that, like, when you sit down and you're whether you're barefoot or you're sitting down and eating, you're always one with the earth, which I think
Oh,
is
nice.
so much sense because, I mean, we all come from the earth and we die to the earth. And it's just for someone who's been all around the world and has even done Burning Man, which is a very spiritual experience, I really think that they value the simplicity of the earth and nature. And the rugs, a lot of them do have symbols on them that are historical, that have cultural significance of Morocco. And there's also, I mean, this whole other side, which is like the beauty category, which I also kind of dove into. But even the fruits that they use and the trees for the beauty products, like everything has a significance, which I loved. I loved that
Yeah.
about.
I love that too. And you know what comes to mind is the magnetic forces inside the earth. So, like, the less things that you put between you and your body, you could actually get that grounding. They call it
Yeah,
grounding.
we're made of energy. And
Yeah. And I'm sure that being on the rugs with the sheep wool between is just a conduit. Like, you can still get that ground. It's not like rubber when you have tennis shoes on and
yeah,
you know,
I
it's
think
the
it's just
plus.
they're not comfortable, like
Yeah.
they're more drawn to earthy type
Yeah,
situations.
I love that. I love that. And respecting culture, respecting differences, learning from others, right? I mean, this is like passed down from thousands and thousands of years, and it's good to learn about why people do certain things. And I love that. Let me ask you, behind me is this beautiful column, and so typical of Morocco. Where was this? Was this like in a temple or a
No, this is my hotel. It was called La Sultana. It's a 5-star hotel. It's near everything. And it actually is that concept of a riad. It almost looks like a castle because it's just so beautifully done. I remember our room was like had a tiger theme, and I think the background that you chose with the crown, originally before when we were offline, that was my actual room, and it had like paintings,
What?
tigers, yeah, and it actually was like a real palace that that some of the sultans use. And it is a luxury historical hotel that is in the part of UNESCO, so it's protected, and it combines four traditional Moroccan residences in a single complex. So it's kind of like a different theme for whichever room that you stay in, because there's four different suites. So I think the concept there was really cool. And that picture was actually taken like right by the pool, where it was so nice because you could just lay out, have breakfast there, and just take a dip. And you know, it was warm when I went, so it was a really, really nice experience there at La Sultana.
That reminds me to ask you, what is the temperature and the seasons like there? You're saying it was warm, like how warm? And then like, does it ever get cooler? Because I know it's at the top of Africa, right?
Yes, I actually went in December and it was not too hot, but not too cold. It was like perfect. I would say that it's probably the best time to go because it's probably like 70 degrees, which is like almost like LA weather. But I would say the hottest months, like don't go in August or September. It's like 100 degrees.
That
October
sounds
was
like Houston.
like, yeah, it's like Houston or Miami. Exactly. It's similar to
I live
Miami
in that.
weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it goes down to 82 in October and then down to 73 in November. So I went
Nice.
in December. So it was nice and cool and also sun shining. You could see in all my pictures. Actually, the coldest month is January, which is my birthday month. But January is 66 degrees Fahrenheit. And
Still nice, little jacket.
yeah, but that's the coldest it gets. So my boyfriend, who's Italian, is knows I'm from Miami and knows that I know where the warm places are. So we always pick a warm place, whether it's Israel or Morocco or Turkey. We tend to gravitate towards that because he hates the cold. He whenever he can in December to get out of the cold winters, he's goes either to Miami or to somewhere we pick somewhere warm. So if you're looking for good weather, Morocco is the place to go for sure.
That's neat. Let's talk a little bit more about the hotel. Did you say the name of the hotel already?
La Sultana, yes.
Okay, so it's you said it was a 5-star hotel, right?
Yes, it is. It's a 5-star hotel.
You give us more of a experience? Like, was there something unique that they did, like that surprised you? You know, I don't know. Did they come in your room and put, you know, cookies, or I mean, like, is there anything kind of unique that they did that made them special for? Maybe they gave you some olives. Like, I don't know
Yeah,
what.
no, they did. They did. They gave us like the typical, I remember the breakfast there was like a typical Marrakesh breakfast. You know, instead of having like bacon and eggs, it was like literally like exactly what they eat, which, you know, it's they had like the different spreads. They have like the fig and olive spread and the olives and like the different kinds of marmalade and
Yeah,
just
do they eat
they
dates there in Morocco?
eat
Are
dates
dates
there.
popular?
Yes,
Yeah.
they do eat dates and they do a lot of the spreads and a lot of the, you know, they actually the bread is even different. It's not just like regular bread. It's almost like a flattened bread.
Is it like a naan, like a naan bread?
Naan bread. Yeah, it's like
Yeah.
that.
Would you say that their diet is similar to like a Greek type
I would
diet?
say Israel. I would say Israel and
Okay.
Greek, very similar. I've been to both extensively. It definitely reminds me of like a Mediterranean type cuisine.
Yeah.
Like a
The
lot of
colors remind me of India, like when you
yes.
had the picture of all the spices and the cumin and the turmeric and
Yes, because they are very health conscious there. Whether it's what you put on your skin with the beauty products or what you put in your body, they're super, super health conscious there. And that's another thing I realized when I was there, which I thought was awesome. Like Moroccan oil, you know, like why is it so famous? It's because that what they use in their products are from Morocco, and Morocco has amazing anti-aging and nutritional products, and it just, you know, the farms and the vegetation around there is just awesome.
is there a particular like nut or fruit or whatever that's part of Moroccan oil? Like, you know how you see argan oil a lot? Like, is that a, you know, I see a lot of times Moroccan and argan together.
Yeah, argan nut is it's called Argania spinosa or Marrakesh oil, and it's the highest quality argan nut from Morocco.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so famous and it works so well for anti-aging.
Yeah, I use a product that is more Asian, but they use squalene oil, which comes from olive oils. And so I put, like an olive oil moisturizer base on, and I have for 20 years, and I really feel like it is the best I've ever found. Just olives, using olive oil, something natural, is so much better than a lot of manufacturers makeup out of like animal rendering plants, like just
Yeah.
squeeze out a raccoon's oil and use it in a cosmetic. It's like, I don't want to put that on my face.
Exactly. So it's just something that, I think that different parts of the world have different like important
Yeah,
properties.
natural,
Yeah.
right? Just using natural ingredients. So tell us a little about you did do a spa day, right? Didn't you go experience the
Yes.
spa? Tell us a little bit about the spa. Like, what was it like? Did you go into a sauna, with everyone else? Like, tell us a little bit about the spa day.
So I had a private hammam experience.
Okay, I know what that is. Yeah.
Yeah,
But
so
describe what a hammam is to other people who may not know what that is, because that's unique.
So a hammam experience is when you are able to, it's almost like a big room, like a big ch chamber like that has an array of like steam, scrub, massage. There's pools, warm pools that you can try out. It's very popular
Almost
in
like a
Turkey.
Turkish bath, right?
It's
Kind
like
of
a
thing.
Turkish bath, but
Yeah.
I actually was had a private one. So I was able to just enjoy with my boyfriend as a couple.
Yeah.
And they use some special products, some special oils to actually like work better on the skin. I remember them exfoliating my entire body, and my skin was super smooth after I did a steam bath for 10 minutes. And I think that that's better for like your skin pores to open up. And the exfoliation was just literally like they were just like, take off all your clothes. Like it was just like kind of like a normal thing for them to just
Yeah, I mean, clothes get in the way,
you.
so they need
Yeah.
the clothes off. Absolutely. Americans are so not used to that, but other cultures,
Yeah.
like, they're like,
You're
why would
like, yeah,
you
your
like
body
wear a
would.
bathing suit? You need to
Yeah,
get that butt
so
scrubbed.
exactly. And then there was a jacuzzi, and they put some olive paste on you. And then they did like a hot stone massage. So I was definitely
In
by
heaven.
the end, I was rejuvenated, recovered, and just I would do it all over again if I had to choose.
How long did you get to stay there?
In Morocco,
Yeah.
a week.
Oh, nice.
I was
Nice.
able to do a lot.
Yeah.
And
So,
I was able to do even the YSL garden, which I loved.
oh, tell us about that.
Yeah, so that was one of my favorite things. The YSL garden is really a beautiful outdoor garden that's a tribute to YSL.
Wait, tell everybody what YSL is.
Yves Saint Laurent.
It's a
So
brand. Yeah, it's a
it's a
fashion
very
brand.
high-end brand, and Yves Saint Laurent, the person behind it was obsessed with Morocco, and not only Morocco but just the vegetation, the gardens, because Morocco is known for their beautiful gardens. So he pretty much created his own garden, which is the pictures that I sent you about the blue door and the cactus. And it's just a beautiful experience. And there's a logo in the front when you go in, and you get to see all the different like ways that he designed the gardens, and even how he chose the significance of the blue door and what blue means in the culture. And it was just a very profound experience, and I would never have thought that a designer of a fashion brand would be so into Morocco and have a whole garden dedicated to just the beauty of Morocco.
I bet it was his muse, Morocco, you know, like helping him with inspiration. So was this like his compound? Did he have like a second home or something in Morocco? And then did he created the gardens?
Yes, I think it was like where he lived before he got sick and died. And I don't know if his or his boyfriend's ashes are actually there. I believe his ashes are there.
Okay, he wanted to
And
be buried in his gardens.
yeah, and exactly, there is a museum that shows like the timeline of his life and his YSL collection. And there's actually prints of the actual dresses that are in line with the gardens that you see in the YSL garden. So you know for a fact that he took a lot of his inspiration from Morocco and the flowers and the vegetation and the inspiration of the colors and everything, yellow and blue. I mean, there's so many things that he just took from Morocco.
Morocco is so unique that I think a lot of people get inspired and infused and invigorated, you know, after being there. I mean, it sounds like you did when you were just describing after your treatment. So, you said you did a lot of things. So we've talked about desert, we talked about the markets, we talked about the hotel. Anything else about the hotel before we move on to anything else? Or is there anything I'm missing about the hotel? Like, did it have any kind of like nightlife or music or like what would y'all hang out there at night, you know, after dark? Or did you go eat outside in restaurants at night? Like, what was your experience like?
I think it's very like chill and calm. So there wasn't much of a nightlife scene at the hotel. We would just have dinner, and our
Get
days were
rest.
packed. Yeah, our days were so packed that it was kind of like we just wanted to chill at the hotel and like
Yeah.
enjoy. And even the hotel, one of the best things about the hotel itself was that it ha you would go underground and it was like its own spa and hammam, and it has like the whirlpools, so you can just like completely relax and read a book and be in the hot tub and just hang out, really. It
Just a
was
haven, like a
yeah.
place for respite, right?
Exactly,
Yeah,
exactly.
that's great. Well, in just in sounds like we've just covered a lot of things. Are there anything like, is there anything tip related? Like, where did you fly into and how did you get, you know, what do you recommend anything? Like, do you recommend for people who are now inspired and want to go, you know,
Yeah.
you recommend like find a tour, you know, get your stuff pre-lined up, like who's picking you up at the airport, you know, or do you, you know, would you not recommend renting a car? Like, what are some of the things you would tell people after being there?
I would definitely say to contact the Moroccan Tourism Board because they can organize a phenomenal trip for you. They did everything from start to finish. They picked me up from the airport. They drove me to the desert. They sent me back to the city. They booked all the riads to give me like a wholesome experience. They took care of the dining options. So I do recommend a tour that will organize everything for you because it's a big place. There's a lot to do, and you don't speak the language most likely. So a tour is definitely recommended. And if you go on the Moroccan Tourism Board website, there's tons of information on there on how to organize, what to do, how many days, everything like that. And I would definitely recommend arriving into Casablanca Mohammed V CMN Airport. And then the transfer to Marrakesh is 2 hours. So
Is that a plane ride 2 hours or like something else 2 hours?
no. Like from the airport that we
Like
got.
in a bus or something? What it, how did you
No,
transfer?
like with the tour, like with the tourism board, like they organized like the car to pick us up and
Okay,
everything.
so it was a regular car and they picked you up and you had to go for 2 hours in the car. Okay.
Yes.
Do they have like train systems like Europe does, or is it more individual travel?
That's why I recommend the tour guide, because it's not like just you hop on a train like in Italy or Spain. You have to really have like a guide or a driver or something, or rent a
Okay.
car.
Good. Okay, good. So, I mean, I think that's important because, anybody could be listening to this video and this podcast, and, we want to give them good guidance on having the best experience they can when they go to Morocco. So, definitely find a good, reputable tour guide or call the bureau, like you said, to let them line everything up. Do they just work with a bunch of different travel companies, or are they literally
Yes.
the travel company?
I mean, they work with all of, like, let's say you want, like, you tell them what you want, like you want to do glamping. So they work with the glamping companies or the ATV companies, or you want to do the market. So they work with the driver that will bring you to the market, or you want to stay in a riad or an old palace. They'll put together some options for you. So yeah, it's definitely something that they are the people that know the people that can just plan the whole thing for you. Yeah. They run
I love
Morocco,
that.
so.
Yeah, and if you want, you can provide me just a direct website link that you worked with, and we'll put that in your description of your video
Perfect. I'll do.
along with your own website as well. So, is there anything else about, like, we talked about the food? Do they eat mostly vegetarian diet, or did you see much meat in their culture?
I did. There was a lot of like tagine.
Wait, what
I
is
don't.
that?
It's a cooking style.
Oh.
It's like chicken and lemon and spices, and it's super healthy. They put everything in. They put the meat and like the vegetables in a bowl. It's a very famous method that they use, and it's a clay bowl with a lid, and then they cook the food inside of it. And it's filled with like juicy vegetables, spices, cilantro, cumin. And it could be made with lamb, chicken, or beef, or even just vegetables if you want. So it's basically like a slow roast. Like, think about if you have like a crock pot,
Yum.
but it's delicious. I became obsessed with it. Then everybody there drinks tea. Tea is very healthy for you. So they brew gunpowder tea and spearmint leaves and two sugar cubes. That's how I would have it when I was there. And they have everything from green tea to black tea, depending on your mood. And then they have kefta, which is another typical Moroccan dish. It can be beef or lamb, onions with and lemon juice and cilantro, and it's boiled in the oven and served on skewers. So they eat a lot
You're
of meat.
making me so hungry.
I know, and it's so good. And then they even have their own version of the crepe, and I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Msemen, Msemen. And they have it for breakfast, and it's drizzled with honey and jam, and you have it with like a Moroccan mint tea. It's so good.
I may have to find a Moroccan restaurant in my city.
Yeah, I know.
I live in
It's
like
all
the
healthy too, like
I
chickpeas,
know. I love that. All
couscous.
the whole foods that they use. And I
Yeah.
bet there's even like science. You're talking about lemons, and I'm thinking there's probably digestive science
Oh
around
yeah.
why they add the lemon to the
Exactly.
meat to in order for your body to help it digest with the acid from the lemon,
Absolutely. They
Yeah.
will teach you all about that. You will educate yourself on the food and health and wellness, which is a big part of, I mean, my passion is just to know as much as I can about healthy alternatives for my body and things like that. So.
Yes, I love that. We sound, you and I sound like we have a lot in common. I can't wait to have, I hope you'll, first of all, I hope you enjoyed it being on the show today, and I hope you'll come back and we'll talk about more wonderful places that you've been to that you can help inspire the rest of the world to get out there and explore more of this amazing planet.
Absolutely. I would love to come back. And it was such a pleasure to be on the show. And thank you for having me.
Yeah. Is there anything that maybe I didn't ask you or that you think we need to slip in before we wrap up the episode and tell everybody? I mean, is there anything about Morocco we didn't talk about? I mean, I don't know. We covered them
all. Really. I think we did. I'm looking at the itinerary now, and we pretty much covered it all.
Yes, that's exciting. So I really feel like you've inspired us to want to go visit Morocco. And my sister and I were talking before, she's on her way to Florida right now from Colorado, and we were talking on the phone about this, and that I was gonna, talk to you, and we were talking about, Morocco and how unique of a place it is, and it's just a bucket list place for a lot of people. So thank you so much for taking the
Thanks.
time to, inspire us to want to get out there and go visit.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so we will see you soon. I'm gonna schedule my next episode with you soon.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
All right, thanks, Kat. We'll talk to
Bye.
you later. Hang in there. I'm just going to turn off the recording. Thank you. We hope you enjoyed the show today. And if you'd like to be a guest on the Global Travel Junkie podcast and YouTube channel, reach out to us at our Contact Us form at globaltraveljunkie.com. We hope to see you out traveling. Adios. Ciao. Au revoir.